I should have seen it, and maybe many of you have seen it, but there's a clear connection to what I want to talk about briefly. And I'm going to read some scriptures this morning that tie the Old Covenant and the New Covenant together, and specifically how communion is represented in both of those two seasons of God's people. I want to take a few minutes to provide some historical context, but because of the addition of chapters and verses in Scripture, it hasn't always, many of you, probably most of you know, chapters and verses weren't always in there. They were for our benefit. But that's a detriment very often to us because we compartmentalize certain passages of Scripture that I believe God intended to be read together. Does that make sense? And so we lose context very often in what God, I believe, wants to teach us. And so this morning I want to talk about, you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about how one of my heroes in the faith, David Wilkerson, preached a message, right song, wrong side. Remember me talking about that? Well, the context for that was God delivering the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. He opened up the Red Sea. The children of Israel walked through on dry ground. God closed up the sea on the Egyptian army as they were chasing them into the Red Sea and drowned all their enemies. And then they rejoiced and they praised the Lord. And they did that on the other side of the Red Sea. And what many of us may not realize is that immediately after they were done rejoicing, they entered into a new season of life, and they didn't start, that new season didn't start out as an easy one. So I want to read a passage in Exodus 15. Exodus 14 is the story that I just alluded to, but in Exodus 15, starting in verse 22, they were 3 days outside of that miracle, and they already started to grumble. Okay, 3 days later, they started to grumble in Exodus 15, verse 22. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter, and therefore it was named Marah, which means bitterness. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord. Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer." And they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. I believe the 12 springs of water and the 70 palm trees have a spiritual symbolism that I don't have the time to get into today, but I believe they are very, very significant. But I want to go back to Exodus 15, verse 25, and I want to reread that verse or a portion of that verse. By the way, I didn't give any of these scriptures yet to Janice. That's why they're not up on the board. We're going to, in John 6, we're going to go into some in just a little bit that she will have up on the wall so for you to read through with us. But in Exodus 15, 25, it says, "And he cried to the Lord," Moses cried to the Lord, "and the Lord showed him a tree which he cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet." And as I read that this week, because I was trying to say, God, I was asking him, "Lord, what am I missing here about the correlation between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant? Is there something there that you want to speak to us? Maybe that I've missed, or maybe all of us in general have missed." And so as I read through Exodus 15, 25, that word log in the ESV jumped out at me. So I read it in the Amplified Version. I went and I looked at the Hebrew word of that. The word log there is actually the Hebrew word for tree. And the two definitions that came up first blew me away. The definition for tree is carpenter, or one of them is carpenter, and the other is gallows. Like, oh my goodness. The carpenter who was willing to die is what made the water sweet. Like, God, we don't understand what communion is all about. We're not getting it. Then in Exodus 16, now again, context, 14, God delivers them from the Egyptians. Exodus 15, this pursuit of water. Then in Exodus 16, the children of Israel go into the next season of whining and complaining. And by the way, the Lord has kind of dealt with me many times over the course of my life. I dog the Israelites. We're just like them. We're just like them. We whine and we complain. I'm guilty, and it bugs me that I'm guilty, but I am. Exodus 16, starting in verse 1, they set out for Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, in the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the people of Israel said to them, "Would that ye had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. We wish we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they walk in law, in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord," Moses said. And then he said, then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." Now I want to go to Exodus 17. Again, you see context. It's just moving in chronological order here. Exodus 17, verse 1. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. So he had given them water at the pools of Marah. It's a different scenario, okay? Moving on now. Verse 2, "Therefore the people quarreled with Moses again, 'Give us water to drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?' But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, 'Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?' So Moses cried to the Lord, 'What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb. Behold, I, God, will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink.' And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people, and because they tested the Lord by saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" So it's important to remember that immediately following God's deliverance of his people, the whining and the complaining started, but they wanted meat, flesh, they wanted something to drink, water. Okay? Now, let's move forward to John. I'm going to read this last passage, and then the worship team is going to come forward again. But in John 6, verse 28, it says, "Then they," and this is referring to a crowd of people, the disciples were among the crowd. "Then they said to him," this is, again, John 6, this is New Testament now, "'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' they asked Jesus. Jesus answered them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.'" So Old Testament, they didn't believe in the one God had sent. They didn't trust Moses. Moses said, "They're ready to stone me." Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Yeah, we may believe in you, but you're going to prove yourself." Verse 31, "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he," not it, "for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread." "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall not thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come true, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." Now, let's focus in here. Again, Communion Sunday. There's a reason I'm reading through these different passages. Verse 48, Jesus said again, "I am the bread of life." He said it earlier, he repeats it again. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died." Man, I hope we get this. "This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone..." Now imagine you're part of the crowd that day. Imagine you're one of the disciples that day who's following Jesus. Verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. And when many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" Some translations say, I can't even hear this. Have you ever had somebody come to you and tell you something that was so hard that you didn't want to hear it, and you did the I don't want to hear it, I don't want to hear it. I believe that was going on there. We've been following you, Jesus. You called us out of a life of being fishermen. We've been following you. Now you're telling us, eat your flesh and drink your blood. See ya. That's what you and I probably would have done. And that's what most of the crowd did during that time as well. Verse 61, "But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, 'Do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe.' For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, 'This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father.' After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him." Can't do it. That's too much. I could follow you when the miracles were flowing. I could follow you when blind eyes were being opened and deaf ears were being opened and lame people were starting to walk. I could do that. But eat your flesh and drink your blood? Yeah. Can't do that. Verse 67, "So Jesus said to the 12, Man, I cannot imagine the pain that Jesus must have felt. And he looked at the 12 and said, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord," and I hope we get this, "to whom shall we go?" If we don't have hope in you, we can't get it anywhere else. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Communion, if we're not careful, just becomes something we do. It just becomes an event on the calendar. You know, I've been a part of a lot of conversations when people are asking, you know, is the communion bread literally the flesh of Christ? Is the cup that we drink from, is it literally the blood of Christ? Well, here's my really deep, profound spiritual answer. I don't have a clue. I don't know. I don't know that we need to. But I do know that we need to understand that what this represents is something way more profound, maybe, than we've given the focused attention to. What he did for us was provide food that is eternal. What he did for us is provide water that would enable us to never thirst again. Worship team, come forward if you would. We're going to sing a few more songs, and at the end of this, these last few songs that we sing, we're going to receive communion together. And I pray today that we understand what Jesus really truly has done for us. The carpenter that was willing to die for us. He did what we could never do on our own. He's worthy for us to come into this time of communion here after a few songs with an attitude that says, Lord, I want to worship you with my life. I want to give you everything I've got. Let's stand. To have the elders come forward if we would, and those here to my left, if you would I guess exit to your right and then file through, and then you can file back into your rows, receive the communion elements here at Ollie's table. Those here, same thing, exit from your right, come through, file back through, and then Bruce or John, could one of you could you come up here? So go ahead and begin to step out now if you could receive the communion elements. And then don't take them yet. Just receive the elements. Go back to your seat, and then we'll receive the elements all together. Lord, we don't understand fully and completely what you meant when you said to the disciples to eat your flesh and to drink your blood. Lord, if it's just a symbolism, if it's a representation, if you meant that as reality, Lord, that's up to you. But you commanded us through the Apostle Paul that when we receive communion, as often as we do it to remember you. And Jesus, not only today do we want to remember you, we want to celebrate you. We want to rejoice in you. We want to thank you, Jesus, because the sacrifice that you made for us changed our eternal destiny. That's hope. Take and eat of the bread. Jesus, your blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, that piece of wood that made the waters sweet at Marah. It gave us the opportunity to experience sweet communion with you. Sustenance. And when we eat your flesh and drink your blood, as you said, we'll never hunger and we'll never thirst again. Take and drink.